Reminder, there is a sermon outline on the very last page of your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. Well, talking about clothes and fashion a little bit during the children's message kind of reminds us this morning, seems like everything old kind of comes back again, right? Some of the trends that have happened in the past. Well, I brought some of those trends with me to see how well you remember them and to see if you can guess what era they come from. Not even what particular year, but what decade did these start. So, for example, this first one here. I remember these, the slap bracelets and charm necklaces. When were they really popular? Do you remember any ideas? Back in let's check it out. The 1980s, yeah. What about this next one? Remember these? I don't see any of those out there, by the way, so that hasn't come back yet. Any ideas? A little bit earlier, 1950s, close. They certainly was in the 60s as well. But what about this next one? I remember these for sure. Do you like these? Do you wish these came back? Everybody's like, no. Yeah, 1980s again. What about this next one? Remember all the shoulder pads? Everyone, and they're still kind of around today, but like they're really popular in this time frame. Yeah, 1980s again. And these, the poodle skirts? 50s. Yep, 50s. Y'all are on in that one. And this one, you guys could probably get this one as well. Let's check it out. Yeah, you guys are smart. And this last one? How many wishes this one would just go away? Or yes. Well, today, and it's interesting to look at these fads, and some of these you look at, well, where are they today? I mean, they kind of came and they left. And yet Paul urges us in our text today, as you heard a little bit ago during the children's message, to put off and put on, to put off the old self and to put on the new self that we have in Christ. But what does this look like? So we're going to be wrestling with this in some very practical ways of what this looks like in our lives today, because it's one of the biggest things I think that we wrestle with in our lifetime when we follow Jesus. And that leads us to our hero for this morning. The gospel handle into the text today is Thor. Thor is the picture of this text of putting off and putting on, the picture of transformation, of change. There's a metamorphosis that happens with Thor. Now, the original Thor is very different from the Thor that we see in the big movie screen today. The original Thor in this comic book is Don Blake, and one of the most dramatic kind of changes that happens in the comic world at the time. In comic book number 83, Journey into the Mystery, Dr. Don Blake was vacationing in Norway, and he stumbles across an alien invasion, because that's a normal thing that happens, right? But he stumbles across this alien invasion, which you see pictured here a little bit, and he gets trapped inside of a cave when the aliens are invading. And when he's in this cave, he finds a walking stick, and he gets frustrated as he has this walking stick in his hand, and he hits this boulder, and as he hits this boulder, there's a blinding light that flashes in the cave, and he becomes Thor. The stick became a hammer in his hands, and he quickly got rid of all the aliens. Very different from the current version of Thor, right? But as Christians, we certainly don't have a rod or stick that we carry in our hands that kind of change us inside and out. We have something way better. We do believe in transformation from eternity. It's God's plan for all of our lives, and this means lifelong growth. That every day we live, we live to change, to be more and more like Jesus. Because deep within all of us, I think we get it. We understand this idea of transformation and longing for change, because deep within all of us is a longing to be different than what we are now. Transform from this world. You know, we want to be skinnier, smarter, younger, wiser, better looking, you name it. There is this desire for change as we look in a mirror. And yet, there's good news, isn't there, as we come into the Word today. The Bible reminds us again and again that God loves you as you are, but He loves you enough not to leave you where you are, in our broken place and sinful place. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret here this morning. There's no perfect people allowed in this place. Isn't that good news? We should shout that from the mountaintops, because is there anybody who's perfect here? None of us are, right? And that leads us to this sermon series that we're calling Hero, looking at different heroes each week as kind of the gospel handle into the biblical text. Today, we're looking at Thor and transformation. He went through an incredible transformation as he hit that rock with a stick and became Thor. God takes us, and he doesn't tap us with a stick, but he comes to us with another kind of wood, doesn't he? The wood of the cross. And through the cross and an empty tomb, we are transformed. As God taps us, the ordinary people that we are, to create something extraordinary, that we are heroes in the making. And the thing about transformed lives is transformed lives start and end in the same place. Jesus, right? This shouldn't be a shocker. Nobody should be in here and be like today, oh, I'm so surprised. No, it starts and ends in the same place. And that's Paul's point, to live so people can see that you are Christian, that they will know that you are a follower of Jesus by just how you live your lives, to put off and to put on. To put off the old self, the sin, the brokenness, the guilt, and the shame, and to put on Jesus. And as we all certainly know, this isn't a one-time event, it's a lifetime journey of putting off and putting on. But here's the thing, you can't put off without also putting on. Because you gotta replace those old unhealthy habits and patterns and behaviors with something new. And look at Ephesus. Ephesus, at the time when Paul was writing this letter, was a very strong church. Apollos taught there. But there were cracks starting to form within the church. There, and what led to this is there's this temple of to a goddess called Artemis, or Diana, in Ephesus. And I have a picture of it here. It's huge. You can't miss it when you're in Ephesus. It was built with marble. And I don't know how much you know about Artemis or Diana, as she is the goddess of fertility. And the kind of the fertility of all creation, according to what they argued and thought at the time. And on occasion, human sacrifices were made in this temple. This goddess supposedly helped women in childbirth as well. And so 1 month each year, ceremonies took place honoring Artemis. And there were carnivals and festivals and concerts and feasts during this month. There were athletic games and plays with a very immoral slant. You know, she's a goddess of creation. So you can kind of do the math of what those plays were like. And obviously there was alcohol everywhere. People were getting drunk. There were sensual acts going on everywhere that would make us blush today. And this carnival was a big money maker for the city. And so the temple and the carnival was becoming a real problem for this church in Ephesus. And with this backdrop, Paul is saying, put off the old self. Put on the new. Because do you think our culture is really that much different than the church in Ephesus? Not really. Put off, in fact, is in a verb tense to describe a definitive act, a one-time thing, that it's a once-and-for-all thing, to put it off, to stop going back to those sinful and broken ways. In fact, isn't that what repentance means? It means doing a 180, turning your life around and not going back to that broken place again. Don't live as everyone else lives, is what Paul is urging us, to live this new life that we have in Jesus. Because they had become numb to the spiritual danger that they were truly in. Like in our own homes, we maybe don't see that dirty dish that's been in the sink for a week. Or maybe the pile of clothes that's been sitting in the corner for even longer. The dust ball that's billowing across the floor, right? You know, it's not just me, right? I hope. No, I'm just kidding. We become blind or nose blind to what's right in front of us. And yet the danger, Paul sees this, and he's warning the church in Ephesus about this danger right before their eyes. And their hearts were becoming numb to the brokenness in the world around them. And not only to the brokenness, but because of the brokenness, they were becoming numb to God. As he says in verse 18, let's read it together. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him, against God. Their minds were filled with darkness. And because of that darkness, their minds were closed. How much could that describe us today? This culture in which we live. Because remember, who is Paul speaking to here? Is he talking to the culture? He's talking to the church. He's talking about this darkness that is kind of making its way into the body of Christ. These are Christians that Paul is talking about and to. Christians that didn't decide one day and saying, I'm just not going to go to church anymore. I'm going to take part in these festivals that are to Artemis. No, it was a slow, gradual drift. I'm sure we all know people who once were active in this place, who sat in some of these very pews here today, and for one reason or another have drifted away from not only this church, but even God Himself. Are you ready for some stepping on toes a little bit more? Because here's where it hurts. It's even in our own homes. Brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, spouses, parents, grandparents. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're wrestling with God right now. And over time, the mind can turn to darkness, to Jesus. And it begins with those little lies that the devil whispers into our ears. And we settle in that place of hurt. And hear these words, just a little bit won't hurt. Just this one time. Everyone else is doing it. I don't need church. I can do church on my own in nature. I can do it on my own. I don't need any help. Have we heard these words before? And we put on, and we put on, we put on, and we put on, and on more and more and more stuff. And soon you don't recognize the person looking back at you in the mirror. And then a question maybe whispers in our ear that goes way back to the book of Genesis. A familiar question, if you know Genesis 1 through 3. Remember the question that God asks of Adam and Eve after they sinned? Where are you? Where are you? And maybe that's the question we need to hear in our hearts and our souls here today. Where are you? Because when you wear those dirty clothes long enough, you stop smelling the dirt. You stop seeing the tears and the brokenness, but everyone else around you can see it, right? Sometimes we become blind to it ourselves. Just like Ephesus, we become blind and numb to the spiritual danger that we are in. There's an old story that's told about a guy who had this bad habit of swearing and cursing. He just couldn't break it. And every time he got mad, he would let out just this long tirade, you know, swearing like a sailor. And one day he blew up in front of his one young sons. And the son echoed back every single word that he had said. He knew right then and there that he needed a change. And so he went to the pastor for some help. And the pastor says, every time that you get mad, what I'd encourage you to do is sing a hymn. That way you won't speak your anger in an inappropriate way. The dad said, well, I'll try it. I'll try anything. And the dad went on to say, well, he didn't know many hymns. He knew a few, but not many. And so the pastor gave him a hymn book, and he left. And in a few weeks, the dad came back, and the pastor asked him how he was doing. And the dad said, well, I'm doing pretty well, but there's only one thing. And the pastor said, well, what's that? The father said, well, I'm ready for a new hymn book. So, yeah. Put off and put on. That's the message of today. It is not something that we do by ourselves. We need this place. We need this word. We need Jesus. We need the people sitting around us, right? We need this community to encourage us and to pour life into us, to point us to Jesus when we need it. We need the Holy Spirit and His power. So how do we do this? We do it by putting your clothes on. Put your clothes on, right? So many today are walking around naked and unaware and don't even realize it. And yet Jesus gives us a new set of clothes to wear in our life with Him. And Paul talks about these clothes in several different places in his writings. You know, and just think for a moment. You know, we all have certain morning routines. Anyone, we get up in the morning. You know, maybe some of you go to the bathroom. You shower, you eat, you get dressed, or whatever order you do that in, that's up to you. Maybe you can relate to this mug here today. I don't know. I certainly can, but yeah. And so I'm not sure where you're at here today this morning, but I hope you're in the bottom part that you may speak now. But I'm pushing it here today, aren't I? But anyway, we all have certain kind of routines when we get ready in the morning, when we get dressed, before going out. Maybe you check your zipper, right? Do your socks match? Do you have both the right shoes on that they match each other, the left and the right? And then maybe belt. Have you ever forgotten your belt? You know what that's like? You kind of, I don't know about you, but whenever I forget my belt, which happens on occasion, you just feel off. At least I feel off all day. And so in many ways for the Ephesus church, his words are like that belt check. He's encouraging them and challenging them to go back to the basics. Go back to the foundation of Christianity. You know, what about you? Is Jesus like this picture here, just a spoke on this hub of a wheel? Or is Jesus the center of the hub of your life? For so many people, Jesus is just a spoke, an option, something that we might do on Sunday morning or might not, depending on if worship fits into your schedule. But or is Jesus the hub of it all, the center of your life? And so that's what Paul is encouraging us, to recenter our lives with Jesus at the center of it all. Because at the end of the day, clothes make the person, right? Reminds me of a story about a little boy and a dad who were hiking in the woods one day, and they spot a hawk that is circling high above. And suddenly there are several blackbirds that fly up and start to pester that hawk. And the boy says, well, why doesn't the hawk fight him off? Why doesn't he peck away or fight him off? And the dad motions for the son to be quiet and to watch. And they're watching, and they watch the blackbirds. They keep on pecking away, pecking away, pecking away at the hawk. And after a time, this bird of prey started to spread his wings as he then soars high into the sky and leaves those blackbirds far behind. The father goes on to say, when a hawk is being pestered, all it needs to do is catch the currents and rise above the reach of the pests. That's what our life in Christ is like. We catch the currents of His Word, and we're able to rise above the pecking and the pestering of this world, as the prophet Isaiah reminds us in chapter 40, these familiar words. Let's read them together. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When we are connected to Jesus, or better yet, it's the other way around, isn't it? When Jesus is connected to us through the cross and the empty tomb, we're able to rise above the places we find ourselves in and to soar like eagles, as the prophet Isaiah reminds us, to rise above the temptation, to face our sorrows. But this doesn't mean that we won't face the troubling winds of this world, because at times life does peck away at us. And maybe some of you are feeling that pecking right now, the tornado of a job loss, the gusts of wind of health going south, the turbulence of family situations rising up. But there's good news. Jesus gives us a new set of clothes. And these clothes cover you completely from head to toe, from toe to head, inside and out. And these clothes that we wear, they cover you completely, and they say to whom you belong. These waters of baptism cover us inside and out, and they say that you are a child of God, and they give us a new name, the name of Jesus. And these are clothes that we never outgrow. As long as we live, we learn more and more what these clothes truly mean and what they are about. They renew your strength when we feel weak. They give you hope when you're in times of darkness. And sometimes we need that hope, don't we? Maybe you're in, again, one of those dark times now. And if you find yourself in such a place, remember this. In Christ, you are dressed to kill. When you put on the clothes of Jesus, you die with Jesus. Your old self dies with Jesus. You are transformed, because the word transform means change. In our baptisms, you are dressed with the name of Jesus. You put on Jesus. Just like Thor, he went into that cave, a frail man. As he leans down on his knees to the ground with a stick in his hand, he strikes his walking stick to the boulder. And in a blinding flash of light, he is transformed. We too are transformed at a rock called Golgotha. As the hammer hit nails and beams of wood hit the rock of Calvary, as we are changed at the cross once and for all, and one day we will put on our forever clothes. One day we will put on Jesus fully and completely, as the book of Revelation talks about, as we put off one last time and put on Jesus, as these words of Revelation remind us that the one who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. We are overcomers in and through Jesus, because of Jesus. No naked and afraid here, but clothed and secure in Christ. By his wounds you have been made new, forgiven. These are the clothes that we wear. And remember this, you are dressed to kill, to live, to soar, to put off, and to put on. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for Jesus, these clothes that you have given us to wear, these clothes that transform us and change us inside and out. Yes, we face troubles in this world. Yes, those blackbirds try to peck away at us, to lead us to not do what you want us to do in our lives, but yet your grace is there. Your love is there. Your cross is there. That rock is there upon which we stand. And so we cling to you, Father, as you cling to us and lead us to a new day, as we put off the old self, those filthy rags that we used to wear. But now we put on the new self, which was created in you, through you, because of you, in Jesus. In your name that we pray. Amen.